Member Week is back at Lowe's with big savings for pros. Now through October 15th, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, building materials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings before they're gone. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. This is the Long Island serial killer update and my theories and connections to Amanda Winkowski. It was originally theorized that a man named Antoine Garner could have been responsible for Amanda's death. And he may have been. He may have been a player involved, but I would say that I always thought that more players were involved and that Amanda could have been a victim of the Long Island serial killer or killers. Too many things just seemed to add up, but now I feel an overwhelming amount of theories and evidence is coming to light. Antoine Garner is currently in prison for similar crimes, a similar pattern to how Amanda died. She was strangled, most likely. Her hyoid bone was broken, which usually only happens with manual strangulation. And I also spoke to a victim of his who was willing to talk to me on the podcast. I just want to state up top that I'm only expressing and airing the opinions and experiences of people that I've interviewed, and everyone mentioned is innocent until proven guilty, or they may just be innocent.
I don't know. That's like impossible for me to say. I don't know. I don't know. There's a possibility that he did just want to knock me out. But I would think that if you strangle someone long enough to knock them out, there's always that possibility of killing them.
Yeah.
Or at least giving them so much brain damage they'll never be normal again.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I kind of think that there's a possibility that because I was crying so much and yelling so much and telling him to stop and saying it hurt, that who knows, maybe he just wanted to knock me out so he wouldn't have to lift it anymore.
Maybe, yeah.
But at a certain point, was it
not even sexual anymore? Because if you were lifted off the ground, it doesn't sound like he was...
It wasn't what anymore?
Sexual anymore.
It wasn't sexual at all. There was never anything sexual about it.
Okay. So he wasn't doing it during the act of, raping you?
Yeah, that wasn't sexual. That had nothing to do with sex.
Then it does seem like his intent was just to harm you.
What's that?
Then it seems like his intent was just to harm you, then.
Revenge or something.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Okay, you can continue. I just was trying to... So you wake up near the couch.
Yes. Yep.
And is he right there, or...?
No. He was in the kitchen. I heard him in the kitchen, and he was rummaging through my purse. I could tell.
Uh-huh.
And when I woke up, and I'm, like, trying to gasp, and I'm trying to breathe, I took, like, a big, deep breath, and I heard him freeze.
Okay.
I'm like, take this any way you want it, but I'm kind of like an empath. I can feel what other people are feeling.
No, I get that. No, I totally get it. I feel the same way about myself, so I totally get it.
And I felt like when he heard me, the first thing I thought was that he was like, oh, shit. Like, and I don't know if it was kind of like, you know, shit, like, she's alive or she's awake, you know. But he froze. And then he came back up to me. And he started doing it again. And I just faked him out. I knew that the minute I woke up, I knew that I was going to survive. I can do it. I just have to say the right thing. You know, whenever I watch, like, whenever I watch TV shows and stuff, or movies, and there's these people in the movies and the TV shows, like, oh, I'm going to the police. I'm going to tell them that you're selling drugs. Or I'm going to the police. I'm going to tell them what you did to me. Or I'm just like, shut up. But it's like, that's the dumbest thing people can do. It's like,
yeah.
You never let someone know what you're, then they have to kill you, you know?
Yeah, you're very smart. Yeah, I agree with you.
It's like, I've never understood why people let them know, you know, things like that. Even girls breaking up with their obsessive boyfriends. Break up in a text message or something, you know?
You're fucking smart. Wow. You know all the things. Yeah, no, you're smart. Because if you're already in a, like, in an abusive situation, the highest likely chance, or like the point where you're the most likely to be killed by a partner who's, you know, an abusive psycho is when you go to leave it.
Exactly.
Leave him before he knows that you.
Yeah. When they know you're walking out of your life, they're going to get you, you know? And it's like, don't ever take them out, you know? Just like these girls who have obsessed stalkers. If they get you and you're alone with them, pretend to like them, you know? It's like, till you can get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you know, oh, that feels good. And he's like, what? He goes, what? And I'm like, that feels good. In all actuality, it hurt, like, I can't even tell. Excruciatingly painful. But it's like, after, like, a minute, it's like, I think, like, adrenaline must have taken over, because that's the last thing I was thinking about was the pain. It's like, I wasn't even thinking about that. It wasn't even, you know, I think that's adrenaline, I'm not sure, but. So maybe my being concerned with my life, I don't know, but I know that, you know, that was like, that was in the back of my mind. And he just kept saying, what? And I'm like, do it some more. And I even said, kiss me. And it was, you know, I'm just being honest. You know, I said whatever I had to say to make it look good.
No.
Because he kept saying no. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, no, you're bullshitting me. And I'm like, what? He goes, how could you say that? No, first he asked me my name. He said, what's your name again? And then he goes, and? He wanted my last name too. And I made up a last name. And how could you feel like that? He goes, after I raped you and strangled you. He knew what he did. Yes, he did. He knew what he did. He knew, you know, it's like there was no other way to disguise what he did. It was violent and it was horrible.
He was in shock that you were saying, wow.
Yeah, yes, he was. And he wanted to know, like, he started asking me questions to see if maybe I was crazy. I can't remember the questions he asked me. And I'm like, look, I don't understand it either. I'm just like, you know, maybe God just, you know, wanted to, you know, maybe that was, because he said, how could you feel like that after I raped you and strangled you? And I'm like, maybe God, you know, maybe that's my punishment for, you know, doing stupid things in life. And
shit, you're very smart and very, wow.
Thank you. It's, I would think that any girl could come up with that, you know. It's like, you know.
Yeah, but also, like, you weren't falling apart in the moment, essentially. Like, I'm just impressed by
I knew I had to survive.
Quick quit or the quick, you know.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at how easy it is, you know, to, you know, pretend when it's upon your survival, you know. And I knew that I had to get out of there. I knew that I had to get out of there. I wanted out of that house. I just had a feeling if I stayed in there, things could go bad. I wanted out of that house. And he was the one who just stopped doing that. And he's like, I'm going to test you. And I said, what? He goes, get your clothes on. And I had a pair of, I'll never forget, yellow lace underwear. And I shoved them under the chair just in case for future, you know, like for the police, if they would have gone, they would have found them under there.
Holy shit.
And so I left those. I shoved them under the chair. And I told him I had to pee. And he, like, walked me to the bathroom. And then he goes, okay, come on, I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you. And he brought me over to the stairs, and the stairs are so steep. They're so steep. And I thought he was going to, like, push me down the stairs or something. I don't know why I thought. I just thought he was going to push me down the stairs. And I would have been dead if he would have. And we went down the stairs. And when we got outside, he's like, okay, here we are. You can run. You can scream. And I'm like, see? I said, I told you. I'm serious. I wouldn't have attempted running or screaming. There was like, it was like 2:00 in the morning, and there were like maybe 5 houses on the street that didn't look abandoned.
Uh-huh.
And all the lights were off in all of them. So I knew that would be pointless. And he would have caught up with me in 2 seconds still if I tried to run. So I started feeling sick to my stomach. I think because of being strangled, or maybe the situation, but I was nauseous and I felt like I was going to throw up. And I told him I was really, really sick. I'm like, you know, I have to get home. I'm really sick. And I said, I need to make a phone call. And I'm like, I said, where's my purse? And he goes, your purse is upstairs. And he's like, okay, we'll go get it. And I said, no, I'm too sick to go up the stairs. Can you go get it? And he went and he got it. And I'm looking for my phone and it's not in there. And it started ringing. And it was in his pocket. That was weird. You know, I mean, I'm looking for my phone. Yeah, really weird. And it starts ringing. It's in his pocket. And it was Charlie, the person I live with. And he's just like, I'm just calling to check up on you. Are you okay? And I said, no. And he goes, what's going on? And I'm like, tell Ariel I'm coming home right now. Because I kept telling them that my daughter was there waiting for me. And I'm like, tell Ariel I'm coming home. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, put Ariel on the phone. And he was just like, what? And then I think he must have got it. He's just like, oh, okay, I'll get her. And then I just pretend I was talking to her. I'm like, Ariel, I'll be home real soon. I'm coming home now. And
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
But then I also spoke to someone on the lead sheet that the cops put out, who told me that he does not think that Antoine would be capable of this, and made me lean even more towards the theory that I believe that other players were involved, and those players were connected with the Long Island serial killer.
You the third person that called me about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know what it feels like to lose a child, but I can understand and have empathy for her. But just because I talked to you, now you giving everybody my phone number because I knew Antoine. Why? I mean, and I keep telling her, and I say, you know what, I'm going to have to back off of that because I'm trying to talk to you and try to get you through this, but I can't say that that man did it. You keep trying to make me say that he did it. I don't know. I was at home, so I don't know what he did.
Listen, I understand. Number one, she also didn't give me your phone number. It's not that hard to find someone's phone number. I found it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, I don't even think that Leslie necessarily thinks for sure that Antoine did it anymore. I mean, maybe. Who knows? But there's been a new development. Basically, can I just ask you a few questions? And I apologize if you've been bombarded. That must be annoying, and I appreciate that you sympathize with her.
So many years ago, man. And me, like I said, man, that didn't have nothing to do with me. But here I am. I'm getting these phone calls. I'm getting all these phone calls, man, and it's like, oh, my goodness. But I'll talk to you, though. You know, I'm just driving right now, so.
All right, perfect. She knows it has nothing to do with you. I guess my – basically, I just want to see if I can spark your memory on anything that would my theory is that I think that Amanda was trafficked to did you know about the Long Island serial killer, the guy that was just arrested?
Yeah, I heard about him.
Okay. I don't think that Rex, that guy, killed her. And it still is possible that Antoine did, but I don't know that Antoine escalated to that level because I talked to Celeste, the girl that he did strangle, in depth, and she even sympathized with Antoine quite a bit, actually, where she was like, I don't know that he's a killer because he did strangle me, but he didn't go through with it. I don't think Antoine killed Amanda. I think Antoine perhaps was part of, like, supplying her to these white men that were doing – so I think there's a group of men. I don't think it's one guy, the Long Island serial killer. I think it's a group of men, maybe two, maybe three. And I found that one of those men who lived in Long Island, who was all a suspect before this guy got arrested, but this guy's not off the table on being a suspect, had a storage unit in Buffalo, which is 7 hours from where he lived, which is weird. Do you remember at all, like, you know, Amanda or – any girls that, like, looks like her, like, being, like, doing sex work, or let's just call it, like, prostituting for white guys in Long Island, New York or Jersey or anything like that?
No, ma'am. Listen, at that time I was married, so if Antoine was into that, I don't know that he was into that. He never told me that. You know what I mean? As far as what she looked like, the first time I saw her is when Leslie sent me, like it was a painting of her, not a picture. It was a painting of her. I had never seen this girl with Antoine before. I've seen, I think, the girl that he strangled. I think they were dating. And I remember him, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I don't remember her name, but I know he was dating some younger African-American female. And one night he brought her up to the bar where I used to be at. And that's how I met her. But then I went out of town for about a week or two, and I came back, and then a mutual friend of ours, say I asked him where Antoine was. He said, "Man, Antoine in jail." And I said, "For what?" He said, "Domestic violence." I was like, "Who the fuck he domestic violence?" He said, "Like his girlfriend." I was like, "This motherfucker." You know what I mean? So, and that's what I've known of him. That's the only violent thing I've known him to do. I've never seen him do anything violent around me or none of that. I know he talked tough, but I don't know if he is really tough. Everybody can talk tough.
But you okay? So you say, like, during that time, like, you were married. But that's shit, I'm married, but I also know that, like, stuff goes on. Like, whatever. Like, so you didn't know that Antoine was, You knew of no prostitution going on?
None. Because I, listen, me and Antoine wouldn't besties like that. We wouldn't besties. I would see him maybe once or twice a week. That's if I came to the Ozone, the bar in Buffalo. If I don't come to the Ozone, I don't see him. So most of the time, and I live way out in Holland by East Aurora, so I'm not, when I go to work, and when I get out of work, I go home. So Friday, maybe Saturday, I might say, you know what, I feel like having a drink. And that was the bar I knew to go to. So I ride from Holland to Buffalo. And sometime he'll show up, sometime he won't. But I never called him or, hey, man, let me come pick you. Let's hang up. Let's do that. No. So I don't know what he was doing when I'm not around. I've never seen him do that, though.
Yeah. But I'm not even talking about him. I guess I'm basically just trying to understand, like, that. Because also this white guy, this Peter Hackett dude that we think could be involved, he was also, he was a doctor. I guess I'm just trying to spark any memory of anything, like, with, like.
I've never seen.
So
you never met Amanda. This white guy, never met her, didn't know what she looked like until Leslie sent me that painting picture of her, like, because I didn't know what she looked like. I've never even heard of this girl's name. Until one morning on the news, they said they found some girl in a trash can. And then I heard her name. Didn't know that was Leslie's daughter. Didn't know who she was. Because it's crimes and killing all the time in Buffalo. So to me, that was like, hey, man, that's just something. That ain't nothing new around here. People dying. You know, you see that on the news every morning. So I didn't really pay too much attention to it. Until I heard that Antoine was a suspect for it. So I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, do you know anything about, like, the culture of that world? Or even, like, not to be a creep, but it's not that hard to figure out, you know, where people are located. But, like, you're associated with Florida as well. And there seems to be some sort of, like, pipeline of girls going from Buffalo to Florida. And, I mean, not that
what
shocking. It's all over. But do you know anything about, like, the whole trafficking network in the area or anything about Florida, too?
Hold on, ma'am. Now you asking me the wrong questions. I don't know anything about that. I know it happens, but as far as me knowing somebody that do it, I'll turn their ass in my fucking self because I got three beautiful daughters. I'm raising one right now by my fucking self.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, you're going in a whole nother direction. I said I would talk to you. But now you asking me questions about you asking me a question like, do I know any? No, I can't help you when it comes down to trafficking children. If I ever seen a motherfucker do that, I'll go to jail for murder. Like I drive big rigs. If I drive big rigs, I wish some little girl would ride past my truck and mumble help. I run that motherfucker over. I hope I don't kill her, but I'm stopping you. I'm stopping you if I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I will.
I appreciate
that. If Antoine was into that, I would have cut his motherfucking ass off, too, if I'd have known that's what he was doing. I wouldn't even spoke to him the one or two times I did see him occasionally on the week, during the weekend, because I don't get out like that. And I wanted to cut him off when I found out he did the domestic violence, because that is unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
No matter how mad somebody makes you.
Kevin, the reason why I was asking you that is not to say that you would know anything for, like, your own purposes, but, like, especially because you are so passionate about it.
It comes down to something like that. But if you wouldn't need my help if that what was going on, because I'm going to shut that shit down myself. If I ever knew somebody that do that shit, I wish a motherfucker would tell me that's what they into. And I'm going to get all the information I can and go straight to the police on your ass, because I'm not snitching on you. I'm going to tell on you. That's what I'm asking to do, because I got three beautiful daughters, and I will lose my shit if something happens to them like that.
I'm with you.
I just took custody of my youngest daughter about a year and a half ago. You know, and it's just been me and her, and I keep her close. She can't do shit. She can't go to no friend's house. When she got to go to the school, I stand at the bus stop with her, then I take my ass to work.
But here's my biggest theory. Rex Huerman obviously has been arrested in connection, but I don't think that Peter Hackett or Jimmy Burke are off the table. And here's why. there were known sex parties happening in the Oak Beach area, where Peter Hackett lived, and the area where James Burke, a former Long Island police chief, who has been widely criticized for mishandling the Gilgo Beach serial murders investigation, who also allegedly participated in drug use and the hiring of sex workers. Now, the reasons why I don't think that it is just Rex Heuermann, I don't think that Peter Hackett or James Burke are off the hook. We previously discussed that Leslie had received phone calls from an anonymous person, essentially scaring her, just like Peter Hackett did, to marry Gilbert, Shannon Gilbert's mom, after Shannon went missing. We previously discussed that Amanda and Melissa Bartholomew were associated. But the thing that I found the most interesting is that an address associated with one of these men appears in Buffalo, New York, which would be a 7-hour drive from where he was located in Long Island. I shared this with attorney John Ray and Leslie, Amanda's mom, and both were blown away.
She wanted to, she was on Long Island before?
She is. She's on right now.
Hello?
Hey, Rachel.
Hi, how's it going?
All right. I don't want to cut you off, but I'm sitting with a witness that I need to interview on the case. So I can help you, but just tell me how real fast, and if I have to call you back, I will.
Perfect. Just really quickly, so I don't go down too much of a rabbit hole. Did you know Peter Hackett had a storage unit in Buffalo?
No.
Okay. I thought it was pretty major when I came across it yesterday.
How do you know? Okay. Hold on a second. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Hold on. Okay.
Yes.
How did you find this out? Why don't you see everything you can find out about it, and then can you type it up and email it to me or text it?
Yeah.
All right, because that's real important to me.
Can I text on this number?
Yes, you can. And what's the date that he had it?
Looking into it, the reason it's so important is that.
Hackett did tell me at one point, when I took his testimony, he mentioned something about Buffalo, that he had been up there or he had something. It was something about Buffalo. So it's kind of important, okay?
Why, like, other people that looked into this, you know, didn't, like, pin that as weird is because they weren't thinking about Amanda.
Right.
Yeah, this is, oh, God, oh, wow. This is on Truth Finder, October 1st, 1999 through August 3rd, 2009.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Really important, Kitty. Hold on to that. Let me finish with you. Give me your numbers. Leslie, give me your number again.
716.
But then Leslie called me a few days later and remembered that her other daughter, Danielle, Amanda's sister, remembered that on Wednesday, the Wednesday before she went missing on Friday, Danielle dropped her off and she got in a truck with a man that she identifies, in her opinion, as Peter Hackett.
You're going to die, but that does look exactly like the man, but he was sitting in his truck, so I wouldn't know, you know what I mean? But it looked like him, like it's just a normal, you know what I mean? He had dark hair like him, he was like sitting in his truck. Wait, which guy? Are you saying Peter Hackett or Rex looks like the guy? The one at the top of the picture you sent me, the guy in the white shirt. Okay, that would be, sorry, I'm looking through the, yeah, okay, so yeah, that's Peter Hackett. So that's, yeah, I mean, that looks like him. He looks like him, same shape. White shirt, red tie. Yep, same shape, head, same shape. Like, you know what I mean? He, this was obviously 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So, but that looks like that. If I had to, like, pick a guy out, like, he looks very, yeah. But, I mean, like I said.
The truck. Even the truck. I remember you telling me, Danielle, about the black truck.
Yeah.
So it was a black, because I just spent the time to figure out, like, I looked up the VIN to figure out what color the truck was. It is an SUV, though. Was it? Are you saying it was a pickup truck or an SUV?
No.
Pickup truck.
Okay.
It was a pickup truck.
Well, I mean, I think his is an SUV.
No one, it's like, this is something that they're all going to take to the grave. And that's just the way it is in this. With drugs and prostitution and escorts, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think there's still a way to find out. I'm not giving up on it. I think if we can put the pieces together, there is a way to find out.
Well,
okay, so Peter Hackett looks familiar to you. That man looks familiar.
Yeah, he absolutely does. He looks like the man that was absolutely that man. Because I pulled up next to his car. He got out of my passenger seat and he got into the car with him. So I didn't see his full body, but I saw him from, like, shoulders up, and it looked exactly like the man I saw. I couldn't say, he shaped and looks like a man, the man that is in that picture.
That's very helpful. Now, do you remember the exact location? I think your mom told me earlier did she show you the place that Peter Hackett had either a storage unit or an apartment, whatever he had there?
He didn't. She just told me, honestly, I didn't even know that area that well. Like, I just drove where Amanda told me to go, and I pulled into the parking lot, and he was already sitting there. But there was other cars, and I told her, I can't even be certain where exactly I went. I just know that it was a big parking lot with other cars. And I just know that it was, like, in West Seneca, and I want to say it was, like, a main street, transit, something like that, but I couldn't even be certain at this point. It's been so long.
Well, Transit Road is where he had, if I sent you a photo of what that building, so it's now a U-Haul storage unit, like U-Haul, like trucks, rentals, and then storage unit or whatever. So, when I was looking into him, I was like, why the fuck does he have a storage unit in Buffalo if he lives in Long Island, 7 hours away? Like, that's creepy and weird. And, but then I looked further, and it was not a U-Haul until, like, 2019 or something. But it was something, some big, like, there was a Bank of America in there. It was, like, a big warehouse. He owned something there because his wife, too, also is registered to that place. But what's weird is he got the place in, like, 1999. His wife pings there in 1999. So does he. She never shows back up at that address. I mean, allegedly, if these, whatever I'm researching is working. The last time he is there is, a few months after Amanda was found dead, which is strange. Her report says, the wife says, that with apartment Y, which is kind of confusing, is because I don't know what that building was before necessarily. But yeah, he basically had some sort of something in Buffalo for about 10 years. And then got rid of it, it appears, shortly after Amanda. But if I sent you like a aerial photo of the, would you maybe be able to recognize it?
Maybe. I mean, you could send it to me. I could see if, like, I don't know. I mean, I could take a look at it and see if it jogs my memory or if it looks like something that might be it. Like, I told my mom, I mean, I honestly don't know. I just feel like it's a big parking lot. Maybe a Walmart, maybe just a big parking lot. They had cars in there, and I honestly don't know. But you can send it to me, and if it jogs my memory, I mean, I'll absolutely let you know.
Okay.
That's the guy that, like I said, I can't, like, I wouldn't, like, be able to say, like, oh, that's him. But, like, it looks very similar. Like I said, I pulled up next to them in the car, and, I mean, he looks like the guy that was in the car. I can't say for certain, like, that's 100% him, but he looks, yes, look very similar. And this other guy does look familiar, but...
So that second guy...
Who's James Burke?
Well, Rex is in the photo, too. Rex is the really menacing-looking guy that looks kind of like Meatloaf, the singer.
But the other dude, so like in that search I just sent you, he's also suspected of these. He was the former police chief, James Burke, and
police chief of Buffalo?
No, Suffolk County, Long Island.
Long Island.
But
do you remember the story I told you about the cops that were calling me, asking me for all the info?
They were Buffalo, right?
Yeah, it was Buffalo. It was Buffalo, but we never found out exactly who it was, so.
But you traced the number back to the police department.
Yeah, it went back to, like, if I remember correctly, it went back to, like, their like, 844, like, their like, tip line. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just their broad number without the extension. So, and we never found out who it was.
That is so weird.
It is, and it's just when you're sending me this picture, it just makes me think.
It's very similar to these Long Island. This police chief, he was named as a suspect, and it was clear. But the other question I have too is, I guess you were not always like driving a man to places or whatever. I wish I could figure out if she did go to Long Island, because there was political figures.
Well, she did. I know she did, because I know she went and got stuff down there a couple times.
Drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's also...
I didn't drive her.
These guys were also doing drugs. That police chief that I sent you just a photo of, He was an addict for sure. He was also just arrested for exposing himself to a random person, a man actually. But he was also caught with sex workers. So Amanda went to Long Island for drugs.
Yes. She went down a couple times. But yeah, they would go get stuff and bring it back here.
Do you know if she ever went to a sex party there? Because that's something that
I don't think she would tell me the truth. Like I told you, like we didn't even know. I didn't even know what she was doing. Like I found out while she was missing. But like I told you, that when I was with her Wednesday, she went missing on Friday. On Wednesday is when I said to her, "You're doing something stupid for your money." And she was like, "I can't believe you would say that to me." And we got in a big fight over it. And I'm like, "Well, it doesn't take." I said, "Something's going on, Amanda, like, this is not normal shit. Like, why are you taking hours and houses?" And it just fell off, you know what I mean? It wasn't just, "Oh, I'm going to smoke or pick up shit or drop shit off." Like, it just was taking way too long. There was, like, it just felt, like, I just knew something was up that day, you know what I mean? I'm like, "You're doing something stupid for your money." And she's like, "I can't believe you would say something like that to me. I can't believe you would do that." And she called my mom. She's like, "I'm never talking to her again. She's saying stupid stuff." And it got a little bit more intense. I talked nastier, you know what I mean? I was like, "I don't want to be part of this if you're sucking dick or something." I don't know. I forget exactly what I said. Please don't ever post it or anything. But she was so upset. She got out of my car. She wouldn't get back in my car. She said she was never talking to me again. And then she said things would never be the same between us. And I'm like, I could just tell Amanda, you're doing something stupid. You're trusting, like, this is not normal. Like, I don't know. It was just, and
how
that
long
was
she? How long was she in that man's car?
The guy that looks like the Peter guy. I mean,
yeah,
5-10 minutes.
What, five minutes?
Yeah, like it was a quick. That one was quick, but I was more
that,
in
that
a
could have,
parking
that could
lot.
Have been a drug thing, but this Peter Hackett dude was also. Yeah,
but if he's giving her money or no, it wasn't drugs. It was money, because. Because we had to go get drugs afterwards. So it was money, but why, the point being, my point is she didn't do anything with him then. So he either owed her money, or she was supposed to meet him again afterwards. He was giving her money up front, or he owed her money from before. So she had something going on with this guy, because why would some guy just give her money? You know what I mean? So there was more to it.
She left that truck with cash. Like,
yeah, she got cash.
I will say that polygraph tests cleared both Hackett and Burke, but as we all know, polygraphs are not always the most reliable. Thank you guys so much for listening. I apologize if this has seemed like a very long-winded roundabout investigation, but I truly feel that someone knows something. There are more victims related to the Long Island serial killer, and I believe it is still possible that more players are involved. So thank you guys so much for listening and bearing with me on this journey that I've literally made myself go crazy over. But I believe I'm onto something. And yeah, thank you so much. And until next week, love you. Bye.